Morning. Good start. Morning. Today's daf in Bava Metzia is Tzadi Tes 99. Thank you, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lino Zechon Shmas Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. Tzadi Ches Amid Beis, the Mishnah on the very bottom of the Amud. Shol Sapara. You send a ox. Somebody wants to borrow it from you. You're ready to lend it. So you send it. And v'shuchelo biad beno, biad avdo, biad shlucho. You send it in the with your son. You send it with your eved. Presumably in eved kanani. Stay tuned. We'll discuss that. Biad shlucho, you send it with your shliach. Oh, biad beno, biad avdo, biad shlucho, shoshoel. Or you send it in the hands of the shliach of the shoel. Or his son, or his eved kanani. Umesa. An en route, it dies. So Potter, so you're going to be exempt. You, the show, are going to be exempt. Your beginning of your hischaivus, of your accepting responsibility for liability of the animal, only begins at the time when it actually comes into your possession.
And we're assuming the son is not a shliach.
Because we don't have to assume. We don't have to assume anything. Right now, we don't have to assume anything. The Mishnah says.
You mentioned shliach at the end.
No, I understand. In other words.
So it means the other ones are not shliachim.
Either way.
That's what I mean.
Okay, fine. Either.
Why say it?
No, I understand that, but either way. In other words, even if you send it with your son, or if you send it with your shliach, or they could be both, it doesn't matter. In other words, the Mishnah is teaching us that.
What I'm saying is that we don't assume that the son is a shliach.
The son is a shliach. The son is a son. I understand what you're saying, but I don't know. I could be, it could not be. Presumably not. Either way.
Why is the
Shoel as a shliach? So we'll discuss more of that in just a second. So Amar lo HaShoel. Now, if the Shoel authorizes, and the Shoel says, Shachli biad bini, biad avdi, biad shluchi, so he says, either send it with my Eved, or my son, or my shliach, o biad bincha, biad avdecha, biad shluchacha, or he authorizes the sending it with the mashal, with the owner's son, Eved, or shliach. O, Shamalo HaMashal, Arim HaShachalacha, biad bini, biad avdi, biad shluchi, or let's say the mashal says to the Shoel, I'm going to send it with one of my people. O biad bincha, biad avdecha, biad shluchacha, or with one of your people. V'amalo HaShoel shlach. And the Shoel says, yes, go do it. In other words, so he actually gives verbal authorization. So then v'shilcho meisa. So now, en route, the animal dies, chayiv. So now the Shoel is going to be chayiv under those circumstances because he either sent the shliach or you authorize the shliach. V'chein b'shash machzira. And everything we just said is going to be true on the reverse, on the return. So on the return, so again, so when it's sent from the Shoel back to the mashil, so unless there was authorization, so the Shoel is going to continually be responsible until it gets back to the actual property of the mashil. I'd say literally the hands of the mashil, but okay. But the and if the mashil authorizes the return, like we just described, so then the hischaivus ends when it goes into the hands of one of these people. Okay. Couple things we're going to discuss before we go on to the Gemara. Just a reminder of the Gemara we did back in Baba Kama. We just learned together now that even if you're sending it in the hand of the shliach of the Shoel, if he didn't authorize and say the word shalach, so then the Shoel is not yet chayev. Gemara Baba Kama says it's a little bit strange, it's a little bit unusual. I'm sending it with his shliach, why shouldn't he be chayev? So it's a little bit strange. So the Gemara Baba Kama addresses this. Rashi basically gives us a summary of the Gemara Baba Kama. So quickly, I'm going to run through Rashi. Rashi says, "Imeisa b'derech pligi ba Rabba v'Rav Chista b'gozo kama Rav Chista metaritz l'lahai shlucho de Shoel de Masnisen." So how did you understand the shliach of the Shoel? So the Gemara in Baba Kama, bringing down a machlokas, first Rashi quotes the opinion of Rav Chista, which is b'schira l'kito shadar b'veso. So it's talking about somebody who's like a hired hand. So in other words, it's pretty known that he is an extension of the Shoel. He worked for the Shoel. Aval ein edim shu shlucho. So then what's absent over here? So Rav Chista says in the Gemara Baba Kama, what's absent over here is there's no official appointment of him being a shliach. Edim. When you appoint the shliach with edim, now do you normally need edim to appoint a shliach? We've discussed that in the past. I forget. Okay, very good. So we've discussed that in the past. But for this, we're now just talking about the hischaivus of the Shoel. So Rav Chista says that you need formal appointment of the witness of the shliach with witnesses. And if you have a formal appointment of a shliach with witnesses, so then the Shoel is going to be chayiv. That is Rav Chista in the Gemara Baba Kama. Rabbi disagrees. agrees. Rabba Omer afilo asu shlich beedim la shlichu lischai v'edeba onsim. Rabba goes all the way to the extreme. Even if the shawl appoints the shliach, and even if he does so with witnesses, still he is not going to be chayv on the chayfetz until it actually gets to him. Why? The hachi kamerle, because effectively what the shawl is saying to the mashal is inish mehem nehu. All I'm saying is he's a good guy. And that's all I'm saying. If you want to say to him, you do so, but understand that I'm not accepting ones until it actually gets to me. The only thing I'm confirming right now is that the guy's a good guy. And he's trustworthy, and you can send it with him. But that's all I'm saying. But I'm not accepting ones. So, machlok is Rav Chis and Rabba, in terms of sending it in the hands of the shliach, of the shoal, where our Mishnah says you're not chayiv, and the Gemara in Baba Kama brings out a machlokus amarayim. Is there ever going to be a point where you are going to be chayiv? Machlokus Rav Chis and Rabba. You'll forgive me. I didn't look up the Gemara. I didn't look up the Gemara inside Baba Kama, but I don't remember who we paskin like. But okay, that's the machlokus over there. We're on the very top of Tzadi Testament Aleph. The Gemara over here asks a really simple question. We said that if the shoal authorizes the sending, so then the shoal is going to be responsible the moment it gets into the hands of whoever it's being sent with, and included in whoever is the eved of the mashal. Now the eved of the mashal, now what we know, mashal kana eved kana rabo, that whatever is in the eved's hand belongs to its owner, to his owner. So now the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. How can it be? How can it be that the mashal, the owner of the item, is going to be sending the item together with his Eved Kenani, and because the shoal authorized and he said, yes, send it, so now the shoal is going to be responsible, is going to be liable right away. Just from a simple Kenyan standpoint, the item is still in the possession of the owner until it leaves the hands of the Eved Kenani. So why should the shoal be chayiv? That's the Gemara's question. V'yad avdo chayiv, yad eved ki yad rabo. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. We have a principle. So the Gemara is going to give two answers. Answer number one, Amar Shmuel be'eved ivri d'lo kana legufe. So number one, says the Gemara, is that when the Mishnah said eved, it's talking about an eved ivri. So an eved ivri is his own person. He's an independent. He can make kinyanim. And the only thing is he's indentured. He can work. He can't switch jobs. He doesn't have job advancement opportunity, nor does he have job movement opportunity. So he's stuck where he's at. But he's an independent. So there's no king and a goof on the Eved Ivri, and that is why when the shoal authorizes, yes, I want you to send it, and you send it whoever you want, and the Eved Ivri, if sent with the Eved Ivri, it will then become the liability of the shoal. Answer number one. Answer number two. Rama Amar Afilu Tema Be'Eved Kenani. No, we can learn the Mishnah to Pshuto. The Mishnah says Eved. Most probably, the Mishnah means Eved Kenani. We'll learn the Mishnah like that. And Nasik Omer Le Hikisha Bamako V'Hitavo. And what the shoal is saying to the mashal is, I don't care how the animal gets here. In fact, I'm telling you right now. You know what you could do? Give it a good smack right on its rear and send it to me. Meaning, I do not care how it gets here. I do not even care how you send it. Just send it, and I'd be happy. So now the fact that the Eved Kenani is the one who is bringing it over, from the perspective of the shoal, is inconsequential. I'm telling you, just send it. I send it on its own, and I'd be fine with that. So then, as long as the shoal makes such a stipulation, now I went ahead a little bit, meaning right now I shouldn't have said that. I should just simply say, we're going to view it as if he said it. Let's learn the Gemara like that right now. We'll view it as if he said it, and since we're viewing it as he said it, so therefore it doesn't matter who the para goes with. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges based on the following brisa: Shol para v'shulchal biyad beno biyad shluchal chayev biyad avdo pater. So here the brisa talks about the sending of a cow in the hands of a son or a shliach. So you're going to be chayev, meaning the shoal authorized the sending. So therefore, even while en route, the shoal is going to be responsible. However, if sent with the eved, the shoal is going to be pater. Now, why? We know why. Because the Eved here in question is an Eved Kanani. Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabo. As long as it's in the hands of the Eved, it's in the hand of the owner. Now, Bishlam Shmuel Masisim Eved Ivri Brace of Eved Kanani. So, according to Shmuel, this is a fantastic support for his answer. Because the Mishnah that says that if you send a Biyad Avdo, you're going to be Chayiv. If the Brace that says you're going to be sending a Biyad Avdo, the show is going to be Potter. Perfect. I know how to explain both the Mishnah and the Brace. Mishnah is talking about Eved Kanani, Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabo. And the Brace, let me do that again. Thank you. Very good. The Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri, where he's an independent. Therefore, as long as the Shoel authorizes ascending, so now it's Birishus HaShoel, and the Brice is talking about an Eved Kanani. And that's why the Parah does not belong to the Shoel. I say belong, I mean, for purposes of Ones, it's not going to be in his possession until it actually gets to his possession, because the Brice is talking about an Eved Kanani. Fine. So according to Shmuel, beautiful. Mishnah Braisa works out great. But Ella the Rav Kasha. But for Rav it's difficult, because remember, how did Rav explain the Mishnah? It's talking about Eved Kanani, and every time you authorize sending it, you're basically saying it, send it, and I don't care how it gets here. So the Gemara says, now if you're Rav, so how do you explain the Braisa? Because the Braisa says that when sent with the Eved Kanani, it doesn't, even when the Shoel authorizes, it doesn't transfer ownership, or I should say better, responsibility, until it actually gets to the hands of the Shoel. Why? Isn't his authorization effectively saying, just send it, I don't care how you send it? So Amal Charav, lo tema nasik amarlei, ela ema bi amarlei, hikisha b'makal v'yisavo. So here the Gemara makes a small adjustment in Rav's position. It's not like Rav is saying, it's not that Rav is saying, it's like you're saying. Rav is saying, you are saying. So, if your authorization included the instruction of, I don't care how the animal gets here, just send the animal, hit it, let it walk in my direction. So then, you are going to be held liable, even if the person happens to be accompanying it, is the Eved Kanani of the Mashal, it doesn't matter. If you don't give such instruction in your authorization, so then if sent beyond Eved Kanani, so then it's still going to belong to the owner. And the Gemara says, Ditmar. And the Gemara now is going to quote a memra that supports this. He shall end Paraschav Amalei beyond me. So, I say to you, look, I want to borrow your cow. So the owner says, fine, who should I send it with? And I say to him, what do you mean send it with? Don't send it with anyone. Just hit it and let it come in my direction. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav of Ravu, Amar Rav Kavan. So once my authorization, not tacitly, but explicitly states that you send it to me, you hit it, you just let it walk in my direction. So under those circumstances, the moment it leaves the reshus of the Baal, I become now responsible for Ones. Name him Isayela, the Gemara says, okay, good. So now we have a Braisa that supports this as well. Hishilana Parascha, again, the dialogue starts between the owner and the borrower. So the borrower says, let me borrow your cow. Va'amrle beyond me. And the owner says, who should I send it with? And Va'amrle hikisha b'maka v'itavo. What do you mean? Just hit it. Let it come in my direction. Kevin Shiatsum Rishus Mashal Umeza Chayev. So the moment it leaves the possession of the Mashal and then it dies, so then you're going to be Chayev. This is a Braisa, and the Braisa supports exactly what we just stated. That when authorization of the borrower includes the statement, hit it and let it walk in my direction, so then the responsibility shifts the moment it leaves the property of the Mashal. I'm Ravashi, Achba Maiskin, so Ravashi says, look, it's true that Braisa does support Rav in our more updated understanding of Rav. That's true. But, says Rav Ashi, it doesn't have to be a support for Rav. Maybe the Braisa is talking about where So let's paint a little bit of a picture, as best as I can, with words. So what we have basically over here is, we have two properties, the property of the Mashal and the property of the Shoel. Interior, exterior, right? We've had these kinds of scenario setups in the Gemara and Sukkah. Now that one I remember clearly. So the Mashal lives adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim, and the Shoel, the only way he can get to the Rishus HaRabim is only through the property of the Mashal. So the Shoel is a little bit landlocked. In this regard, it works out to his, well, I don't know about to his benefit, but in this regard, it works the following. So when the Shoel says to the Mashal, look, hit the animal and let it walk in my direction. So now the animal really can go in either one of two ways. Either it can go into the street, which would be, to to the Rishus HaRabim. Sorry, they didn't say anything new. Or he could be going to the property of the Shoal. So once the Mashal hits the animal and sends it in the direction of the Shoal, there's literally nowhere else for it to go. Maybe that's what the Bryce is talking about. Again, it's a new Kimta, but maybe that's what the Bryce is talking about. And if that's what the Bryce is talking about, so then we don't necessarily have a proof for Rav. Because Rav said that in general, when my authorization includes just hit it and let it walk in my direction, so then the transfer of responsibility occurs immediately. And by immediately, I mean when it leaves the property of the Mashal. But maybe the Braisa is talking about this very limited circumstance. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe the Braisa is, but Ihachi Maila Memra. But if you're right, then the Braisa is not giving us any chesh whatsoever. And what would be the point? The whole purpose of a Bryce is to provide for us a Chiddush, and now the Chiddush of the Bryce is only limited to this very narrow circumstance where the animal had no choice but to go in one direction. So the Gemara says, L'tzricha de'ika gizyasya. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Chiddush of the Bryce is as follows. It's not the only place the animal can go. Maybe there are like little nooks and crannies, dead spots between the property of the Mashal and the property of the Shoal. And Ma'u detema lo samcha daite dema kaima hasam. So now there are a couple of very short dead ends where the animal could go between the property of the Mashal and the property of the Shoal. And so maybe then when the Shoal, even when he says the instructions of just hit and let it go my direction, maybe the Shoal was not so mechdas, maybe he wasn't so confident that the animal would get there because there are a couple of very short dead ends. So velo asya, azla lehedja, kamash malan desamcha daita. And maybe that's the chiddush of the Braisa. Okay. Good. So where do we stand right now? So again, we're talking about the responsibility, the liability while en route. What have we learned so far? The Mishnah told us that when being sent from the home of the owner to the home of the borrower, so the Mishnah says that without authorization, the owner is going to remain liable unless the shomer authorizes his own person to send it, or the owner says to the borrower, I'm going to send it to you. Are you okay with that? And he says, shalach. So under those circumstances, but only under those circumstances, is the borrower going to be responsible while en route. Otherwise, the owner is going to be responsible while en route. And what we've discussed up until now is basically what do you do with the case of the Eved Kanani of the Mishnah? Two answers to that. And in general, what if the borrower says, just hit it and let it walk in my direction? Which we've now learned together that, according to Rav, that the borrower becomes responsible the moment it leaves the property of the owner.
Right,
yes.
How can a verbal declaration be stronger than opinion?
Well, that's where we're headed with this entire discussion. Meaning we are right now on the threshold. We are going to discuss it. Right now, the whole aspect of Kenyan. Okay, that's excellent segue. Amar Rav Huna, Hashol Kardo Mechavero. Okay, so Rav Huna says as follows. You borrow a hammer from your friend. And Bakabo Kano. So, you're, right? It's a simple loan. So, you take the hammer from your friend, and you start hammering with it. So then that's it. Now you've made a Kenyan. Okay, Lo Bakabo. But if you have not yet hammered with the hammer yet, lo kano. You have not made a kinyan with that hammer. Okay. What just happened over here with the statement of Rav Huna? It's very difficult to understand. Think about what we learned in our Mishnah. What we learned together in our Mishnah is that we were deliberating in the Mishnah about the possible liability of the Shoel while en route. And even if the liability does not occur while en route, we have assumed it became like a very clear assumption that the moment it gets to the hands of the Shoal, he's going to be chayev. So what just happened with the statement of Rav Huna, you borrow a hammer, well, you're only going to be kind of when you start hammering. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit into what we know based on the beginning of today's shir. So lamai. So the Gemara asks exactly that question. Like, what are we talking about? Elam la'onsin. If we're talking about the responsibility of the Shoal for any liability that will occur, maishna para. Dimisha shela. Well, it can't be any different than a cow. And we all learned together in the Mishnah that the responsibility and liability of the cow occurs the moment it gets into the property of the Shoal. Maybe even earlier if he authorizes the courier. But certainly when it gets to his property, he's going to be chayev. So when I take my friend's hammer, when I borrow my friend's hammer, So I'm going to be chayv immediately. It shouldn't be any different. It's not any different. Ella l'chazara. So the Gemara says like this. What we're talking about over here is retraction. Okay. In other words, I lent my neighbor a hammer. Now, I understand, right, I'd like to think that, you know, a very friendly relationship between neighbors. Okay, can I lend you my hammer? Yes. Okay, you come and knock on the door. I'd like my hammer back. I'm in the middle of using it. Okay, how much longer, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, you don't normally think of a loan in terms of a formal kinyan. But we're learning Gemara, and we're going to speak about a loan as a formal kinyan. And basically now what Rav Huna is saying is the following. As far as the liability is concerned, there's no question. The moment the hammer gets into the possession of the borrower, he's going to be liable. Anything happens to the hammer, aside of Mesa Machmas Malacha, but anything happens to the hammer, he's going to be responsible to pay. Fine. But what we're saying now is as follows. What Rav Huna is saying is the following. That once he starts hammering, now, when the neighbor comes, the owner of the hammer comes and says, hi, I'd like my hammer back. So look, no, I'm really sorry. You lent it to me. I'm in the process of using it. And no, I'm not going to give it back to you now. And now, was there a term for the loan? So for our purpose of discussion, let's assume yes. Let's assume that there was a term for the loan. Let's say I borrowed it for a week. So now, since I started using it, I can legitimately say to the owner, I'm sorry, but I borrowed it for a week. I started using it. I'm not giving it back to you until the week is up. Okay, now granted, by the way, the chances of him lending you something again may drop, but that's not our discussion. Our discussion is chazara, the point of retraction. And Rav Huna is teaching us that once you make usage of it, so then we are now beyond the point of retraction. And so, before the point of usage, the owner can come back and say, look, I need my hammer right now. Well, what do you mean? I borrowed it. No, but you haven't used it yet. And what Rav Huna is saying is that that's a legitimate claim on the part of the owner. You haven't used it yet. I'm retracting my loan. My loan over here, meaning in the form of a hammer. I'm taking it back. Once the shovel starts using it, so that's it. We are past the point now of literally, I mean this literally, no return. Okay, now. There's so much to consider over here. So much to think about in the statement of Rav Huna. Obviously there are two discussions to be had. One is by onus and one's by chazara, right? There are two critical points. Let's start off with the point of onus. Okay, the shol is chayv and onus in the moment it gets into his hand. Okay, is that a din Torah? Is that a din derabanan? I'll ask the question even sharper. Is there a kinyan that we're talking about over here? Now, so you want to say yes, there's a kinyan. Right, and Daniel said it. But, thank you. Okay, good, perfect. All I'm doing is facilitating conversation over here. Wonderful. So, but Ben points out, but he's a shoal. He's not buying it. He's borrowing it. So even the idea of there being a kinyan over here is a strange discussion in that you're not acquiring it. You're borrowing it. So even the idea that you're chayv and ones at the time of when it gets into your hand, really, if I were to press and I were to push you and I'd say, when are you really chayv and ones? When's the real point of chiyuv by ones?
When you take over the responsibility.
I would go even a step further. I would say, whatever the Gemara says. But if we're thinking out loud right now, I would say that the point of onus occurs when something happens to the hammer. Meaning when you borrow the hammer, there's a latent potential that if anything happens, yes, I'm responsible at that point in time. But the real hischaivus of onus happens when an actual onus occurs to the hammer. Meaning, what's the point of Mashiach? We understand Mashiach from a standpoint of kinyanim. Over here, you didn't make a kinyan. It's not yours. The only thing you have is rights to usage. So, yes, I understand that we all think, I'm guilty of the same. We all think that, oh, he did Mashiach, therefore there's a kinyan. It's not a real kinyan. You're giving it back. It's never yours. You're just making usage of it. So, truth of the matter is that even from an one standpoint, the fact that we all assume, the Mishnah taught us this, Rav Huna said it, we all assume that onis occurs at the point of Mashiach, that in of itself also represents a chiddush. And according to Rav Huna, That's probably, now this part over here I'm saying is not definitive, but that's probably also only a din d'rabbanan, that you're chayv and ones at the point of Mashiach. Now, let's go one step further. What about chazara? How do you understand chazara? That's the second discussion to be had, right? Where we're no longer the point of retraction. When does usage become a halachic benchmark or a halachic point of demarcation where now I'm using it, oh, no backsies. Right now we're at the point of no return. I meant that literally. With pun intended. Right now at the point of no return. Just because I used it? That's a strange point to make. It's a strange line to draw in the sand. I started using it, therefore I don't return it to you anymore. That's also strange. Meaning, it's hard, it's difficult to wrap our heads around the ideas of why the chiyuvi onsim should start when you take it, although I think it's easier to follow. Why should usage become the point of no return? Okay.
So what will happen if none has happened before he uses it? So then... responsible then.
No, but
he didn't use it yet, so because the guy can still take it.
That's why I
who uses it?
No, but I'm saying there are two different discussions. The hischayvus for onsim occur the moment it gets into your rishus.
Come into the rishus.
Yeah, that's it. And then the no return policy happens at the point of usage.
So the
two are, that's why you have to separate the two discussions.
Okay.
And then what you need to do, in other words, we're learning Daf Yomi, we're doing it at the Son of Bikias level. But then what you have to do, and you have to analyze and investigate, why do these two become significant points? And who determined them to be significant points? Is this a Din Torah, or is this a Din Rabbanan? Okay. Upligi de Rabbi Ami. Now the Gemara points out that Rabbi Ami does not agree with this. How do I know that? The Amar Rabami. The Rabami taught the following. Let's say I borrow I lend a kardim shel hekdesh. Okay, right. Let's assume that the one who's lending is a gizbar. Okay, and you'll see why that's significant in just a moment. And he lends an axe and it belongs to hekdesh. So, anytime you may misappropriate something that belongs to Hekdesh, you're chayv in the Yisr of Me'ilah. You misappropriated temple funds. You have to make karen, you have to make full restitution of that which you benefited from, plus you have to add chomesh, another 25%, plus you also have to bring a carbon as well. Okay. And a significant point to keep in mind, in general when discussing Me'ilah, and over here as well, is that the item that was used is Yatza L'chulin. In other words, it becomes deconsecrated through its usage. And the act of Me'ila actually is also going to deconsecrate. So, Hamasha Kardam Shal Hektesh, so... We're getting there. Hamasha Kardam Shal Hektesh, so if I now lend the acts that belong to Hektesh, Ma'al Lefi Tovas Hana'a Shebo. So I was Moel, I meaning the lender was Moel because of the Tovas Hana'a Shebo. V'chaveru motu levake bo lechatchila. And the one who received it on loan can use it immediately and a priori. He can use it lechatchila. Now, that's obviously very interesting. Rashi writes Ma'al. Okay, Rashi Dibra Maschal Ma'al. Rashi Hamashal L'sham La'ektesh Keren Shenena B'Hashal Aso. By lending it, you derive benefit from lending it. I'm not talking about the borrower, we're talking about the lender. You derive benefit from lending it. Umahi Anaso. Now, let's try to put that into financial terms. What do you gain, benefit from lending? Lefi Tovas Anashibo. Because anytime you're in a position to allocate, so you benefit by allocating. That's a hana. That's what's called tovas hana. Right? Every time you decide which coin gets truma, that determination, that decision, that ability to decide has a value. Right? I say this all the time, but tongue in cheek. Right? Consider the fact that most people take bribes for such allocations. It's not right. It's just reflective of the fact that there is obviously a value to that decision, to that determination of who it's going to get. So, lefi tovas hana shabo. So, omdimo kama who wrote to Leos nechsa mishalo, lachzik lo hashol tovas hana, kazoo, tovas hana. So, and basically, we're going to try to have to put some sort of price tag to what that tovas hana is, but it has a value. It has a real financial value. And so therefore, the mashal is in violation of Me'ilah. And this part's interesting. And because he was in violation of Me'ilah, the hammer is Yotzeh L'chulin. Next, Rashi. Rashi, V'chaver motel baka bo l'chadchila, afilo yadol achir sheba l'yadu. Shu shehektish. Shemechev and sheshagag bo ha-mashal. Since the mashal made a mistake by lending it, and since he's liable now to pay the demei tovas hanah, so therefore now it's yotzeh lechulin, and now the hammer is free and clear to be used by the shoal. Another side discussion to be had, it's not even such a side discussion, but I'm just raising awareness, we're not delving, is the tovas hanah value on the hammer certainly doesn't represent the full value of the hammer. And therefore, just as an interesting aside, the entire hammer is yotzeh lechulin, even though the only part that you were moel was in the tovas hanah of the hammer.
Okay. It still belongs to the hammer.
No, the hammer does not.
No. What do you mean? The guy is going to get a fee. A fee because he lent it to me, I get a fee.
Because he violated Me'ilah.
He can use it.
Right.
But it's not his. Why would it be his? It still belongs. You can go back to Hagdash. Not that it's Hagdash, but it's Chulin. Go back to Hagdash.
Well, but you're saying two things that are inconsistent. Meaning you're saying it's no longer Hagdash, but it's going to go back to Hagdash.
No, it belongs to Hagdash.
So then how can you use it?
No. It becomes Chulin, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So you just say that I'm going to gain a hammer for nothing.
Right.
Because the guy made a mistake, it can be Chulin. No, it seems to me that the object should still belong to Hagdash. Hagdash cannot own Chulin.
I understand what you're saying, but
all right.
I hear you, but I'm still going to, I'll push a little bit. I'll push back a little bit. It's inconsistent.
I think it's a different.
Okay, fine. We can table the discussion. We can.
Question.
Yeah.
The whole concept here is Me'ilah, but property of the Hekdesh, there is no. Damage or barring, right? So why is
benefit
using just an example?
Benefit, hana from an item is also considered Me'ilah.
But Me'ilah is a special category.
I understand,
it's not, you're not apples and apples here.
I understand that, but the little that I remember of the Masechta, we're getting there in a couple of years. The little I remember is that Me'ilah is also not just taking it to somebody else's property. It's even just benefiting. Benefiting from an item is also considered Me'ilah, and he benefited. Okay. Correct. Exactly. So let's bring it back now to our point, because the Gemara had obviously a specific point to mention with all this. So let's go back to the Gemara. Let's reset ourselves. So the Gemara says, so mutl vaka b'lochachila. So what do we see just happen over here? The mashal gave the hammer to the shoel. The hammer belonged to Hekdesh. The mashal took it and lent it. Since the mashal is in violation of Me'ilah, so therefore now the hammer is Yotzeh L'chulin and the shoel can use it. What have we just learned together through all that? Well, we just learned together, now Me'ilah is a din d'oraisa. So obviously with the transfer of the hammer from the mashal to the shoel, so that triggered something min haTorah. Correct. And now that means that according to Rabbi Ami, the moment the mashal gives it to the shoel, min haTorah, it now becomes the shoel's. Now, I say becomes the shoel's. Obviously, I don't mean it is, but I mean legabe onsin, the inability of chazara, meaning it is now his min haTorah. And it has to be, because if it isn't, then you haven't triggered Me'ilah. In other words, if there is a return back policy before the point of usage, so then let the borrower just simply return it back to the mashal, no harm, no foul. By virtue of the fact that you violated Me'ilah means that we have gone beyond the point of chazara min haTorah, and the Gemara makes exactly that point.
But that was
annoying. Wait, one second. V'ilo kanu amai ma'al v'amai chaver motel avakeh bo lechachila nehajir v'lo liknei v'lo limol. Just return the hammer back to the mashal, right? No kinyan, no Me'ilah, nothing. Meaning, if we went back to the opinion of Rav Huna, what happens before usage? There was a return back policy. The owner can simply say, look, I know I gave it to you, but you haven't made usage of it. Thank you very much. I'll take it right back. So if Rabbi Ami subscribed to that, there should not have been a violation of Me'ilah. By virtue of the fact that Rabbi Ami says it's a violation of Me'ilah, clearly, at the point of exchange, we have now reached the point of no return. So that is a clear indication that Rabbi Ami does not subscribe to Rav Huna. Upligi de Rabbi Lazar. And now, to throw all this into the mix, we're going to get now come to a third shita, and that's the shita of Rav Lazar. Damar Rav Lazar. Kederach shetikna meshicha b'lekuchos kach tikna meshicha b'shomrim. You know, there's something called meshicha as it refers to transactions. I know I touched on this topic before. I knew this was coming up. You know, there's a thing called meshicha, where min haTorah money creates a transaction. However, the Chachamim said, yeah, but we want to protect the buyer, so therefore we say that the buyer only acquires something with meshicha. By shomer, we're going to say the same thing. Now, I don't really mean the same thing. The shomer doesn't acquire the item with meshicha, but at the point where you become responsible and no return. That we get to the point of no return, that will happen as Mashiach as well, as a takana de Rabbanan. Much like the Mashiach by the Kinyanim, so to the Mashiach of Shomrim. Now again, I'm just highlighting points. Again over here, it's difficult to understand. You know why they instituted Mashiach by Kinyanim, by Lekuchos, to protect the buyer. Over here, right, there's no real protection of the Shomer. In other words, the shomer doesn't keep the item. He's not buying the item. He's just watching the item. So you have to come up with a svara in terms of why the chachamim were mesakein by the shomer as they did for the lokeach. But
there's some responsibility. So you know when to start.
Yeah, right. But even according... Right. Okay. So, but we're not talking about responsibility right now. We're talking about chazara. Right, it's the second discussion, not the first discussion. Okay, so that also requires more hesber, more svara, more. Okay, I'm just raising awareness. Okay, so what do we have right now? We have basically three shitas amongst the Amorayim. When the item goes from the mashal to the shoel, at what point do we accept ones and a no return policy? So Rav Huna has a split decision. Rav Huna says that when you hand it over to him, you chayv on ones immediately. But in terms of the return policy, so the mashal can demand it back before usage. After usage, you no longer can return it back, demand it back. That is Shitas Rav Huna. Second we had was Shitas Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says that min haTorah, the moment the shoal gets it, chayv ba'ones, and also no return. Min haTorah. And I know it's been a Torah because obviously he introduces us to the halacha of Me'ilah in this construct. And the third sheet is that of Rav Elazar. And Rav Elazar says that it's a takana de Rabbanan that the chiv onsim and the no return policy, the chazara, will begin at the point of Meshicha. Tanya Namehacha, the Gemara quotes the Braisa supporting the third opinion of Rav Elazar. Kishem shetikna Meshicha b'lekuchos, kak tikna Meshicha b'shomrim. Fine. The Braisa clearly is siding with Rav Elazar. Chronologically, of course, it's the other way around. Rav Elazar is an Amora. But okay. Ukishem. We're now on the very top of Tali Testament base. Ukishem. Shekarka niknas because of Vishar v'chazaka, kach schirus nikna because of Vishar v'chazaka. So just like property, I acquire in one of three ways as per the Mishnah and Kiddushin, that I acquire property through either money or through document or through a proprietary act. So too, rental is acquired with either kesef shar chazaka. Now, the Gemara immediately jumps on this point. Schirus ma'a vidate. The Gemara right now thinks that we're talking about the rental of animals or kalim. That's movable items. Movable items. What does kesef shar chazaka have anything to do with movable items? The answer really is nothing. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, schirus karka. We're talking about the rental of property. We will treat the rental of property with the same halachas of kinyane karka. Just like I acquire property through Kesef Shtar of Chazaka, so too the affirmation, confirmation, right, responsibility, liability, etc., 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 all that will begin at any one of these three points, Kesef Shtar of Chazaka. Amar Shmuel. Hai man de gazel chavitza de tar mechavera. A person steals a cluster of dates, a cake of dates. The ispe chamishim tamari. And the cake has 50 dates. Agav hadade mizavinim benun nechichada. Now, when sold all together in 50 dates, in one cluster, so they're sold at the price of 49. You know, there's a reason why Costco is so popular. Okay, so you buy more, you pay less, and then you spend more. Okay, but okay. Now I'm getting personal. Okay, so so nechi chada chada. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, mezabinim benun nechi chada. Chada chada mezabinim benun. But if I sold each state individually, so then you get 50. So now,
it's one each.
So you right, it's one each. So now, sold in bulk, 49. Sold individually, it's 50. Now the Goslin stole it. So how much did he pay back? 50 or 49? So lehedja mashalim chamisha nechi chada. So we say to him, look, you know, we want to give you a little bit of a break. So it's a little bit of a break. It's not much. So if you stole from Hedjot, so how much do you have to return to him? You have to return 49. Meaning we're going to assume that it could, you know, its value is the bulk value, not the individual value. Lehektish meshalam chamishim v'chumshayu. Now if you stole from Hektish, so we have another word for that. That's called me'ila. But here though, in terms of assessing the keren, the principal value, so the principal value is going to be set at 50. Meaning we're not going to look at it at its bulk rate value, but rather we're going to look at its individual value. Why would we do that for Hekdesh? Because that's what we always do for Hekdesh. Yad, Hekdesh, Alal Yona. We do that. And also, by the way, Chumash, you also have to add a fifth as well, because since you were a violation of Me'ila, so you have to add on another 25%. Masha enke b'mazik v'lo mashalim chumsha. Now, by a mazik, also we like to try to cut the mazik a break. Meaning he damaged, obviously, and he has to pay, obviously. And parenthetically, he also has to pay me meitav sadeu. But in terms of assessing the value of the damage, so we're also going to cut him a break. Masha enke b'mazik v'lo mashalim chumsha. He doesn't pay chumash. Now, parenthetically, by the way, we're talking about the mazik vis-a-vis him damaging Hektesh.
There's no damage right.
And what are you suggesting? Okay, very good. So Tosus over here on the very top, very good. So Tosus on the very top points out that really in a Torah, when you're mazik hektish property, you don't pay anything, right? And Tosus points out when our Gemara talks about not paying the surcharge to hektish for damaging hektish. That just simply means that's a dinder, meaning minat Torah. You don't pay anything to Hekdesh from being mazik. The fact that you're paying is a dinder rabbanan. Aval midaraisa lo mashalim afilu keren. You don't pay keren to Hekdesh. And so what we're learning together now, it's interesting. I don't know where the Gemara states it's outright, but I assume it's out there. So but what we're learning together now is that when you damage Hekdesh, you pay midarabbanan, but the chachamim were not misaking that you have to pay chumash as well. Okay. Mashen ke mamazik lo mashalim chumsha. Da'amar mar ish ki yochel kodesh prat lamazik. Okay. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Anyway, maskev lo rabbi bebarbai lehejod amay mashalim chamishim nechichada. So the Gemara says, now let's talk about a gazlan who steals from another person. And what we just learned together is that for the gazlan, we say to him, look, we're going to cut you a little bit of a break, in that you're only going to have to pay in bulk rate. You're not going to have to pay 50, which would have been the individual sale. So, name alay, ana chada chada v'mizdavnilu. So the Gemara says, I understand. For the victim's standpoint, the victim has what seems to be an extraordinary legitimate claim against the thief. How do you know how I was going to sell it? I planned on selling it individually. So you can't just simply say, well, in bulk it would have gone for 49, therefore I'm only paying you back 49. You don't know I was going to sell in bulk. And it could very well be that I was going to sell individually. So Amar Avuna Bereid Rav Yeshua Shaman Beisabo Sosada Tanan. To which the Gemara says, okay, but let's remember a Mishnah we learned back in Baba Kama. This was in the beginning of the sixth parak of Baba Kama. So the Gemara there says that when you do damage, so you do appraise the damage that you've done in a larger context. Remember the Gemara over there had a discussion about damaging property in the field. And we said over there in the Mishnah Baba Kama, the Mishnah of Braisa, but we said the Mishnah, right? Yeah. It's a Mishnah Baba Kama. We said over there in that Mishnah that when appraising the damage that you've done, you don't look at the actual damage, but you look at the damage in the context of the field. How much was the field appraised for before the damage? How much was the field appraised for after the damage? And that's what you pay. And that will be less than the actual damage that you've done, but that's how we appraise it. So the Gemara says, so it's not inconceivable to say that when the thief is reimbursing the victim, so he'll pay in the bulk rate. It's a little bit less, but it's not unprecedented. We saw that together in the Gemara Baba Kama. So Lamema de Safa Shmuel Din Hejo Lavke Din Gavod Dami. So the Gemara says, now that's interesting. Sounds like that according to Shmuel, Din Hejod and Din Gavor are not comparable. Vatanan. But the Gemara says, yeah, but consider the following. The Mishnah Natalavana Korah Mehekdesh Lamal. So if you take a beam or of Hekdesh or a stone of Hekdesh, so you did not violate Me'ilah. Again, we're going to say that we're talking about the Gizbar. Nasna Lechavero. So once you give it to your friend, Humal Vechavero Lamal. So you were Mol because you transferred it over to somebody else, and the recipient of it was not Mol Behekdesh, because you, the giver, were Mol Behekdesh. Now, Bana Besoch Beso. Now we're going back to the Gizbar. Let's say the Gizbar, who took the beam of Hekdesh, now built it into his house. Now, when I say built it into his house, right, Rashi tells us, the Gemara over there tells us, that you built it in a way where you didn't change the beam. Otherwise, it'd be a shinui, and then you'd violate Me'ilah right away. But you didn't. You just basically put it up as, like, let's say you just needed a beam to be put on right in one area in the roof where there was leakage. So you put the beam right over there, block the leak. Now, lo ma'al ad shiidur tachta b'shavapruta. So now, how are you ma'al? Hana'a. So by benefiting from the beam, so a shavapruta is worth a benefit. So now you're a Moel. So now, what have we just learned together? That using the beam is a benefit, and therefore you're Moel Behektesh. Zosomeris. So now, they said in the name of Shmuel, let's now make an extension of this halacha that we just learned together. And that is the Darbe Chatzah Chaver Shalom Midata Tzarech La'alo Soskar. Again, we go back to Baba Kama. We go to Daf Chof and Baba Kama. And there we learn together that if I live in someone's property, a property that was unoccupied, not intended for rent, so Zenene Vizelo Chaser, so do you have to pay when I'm benefiting but he does not lose out? Do I have to pay? So if you remember the Gemara over there, the Gemara had a considerable discussion of whether you do or you don't have to pay. Shmuel says, what we just learned together based on that Mishnah Me'ilah is that you do have to pay. Because the Mishnah Me'ilah says, I took a beam, I didn't change the beam, it belongs to Hekdesh, and I am Moel on that beam for usage of that beam. Even though Zenana Vizelo Chaser, Beis HaMikdash didn't lose out. So here too, when I live in someone's property, even though he didn't lose, but I benefit, so I need to pay. So what did you see? Shmuel made an equivalency, the halachas of Hekdesh, to the halachas of Hejot. And previously, the Gemara pointed out, Shmuel, in his original statement, separated these categories. So the Gemara says, Hadar Beis Shmuel Me'ahi. So the Gemara says, you're right. Shmuel does not learn out the category of Hejot from the category of Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. Which one did he retract from? The position where I do compare, or the position where he does not compare? So the Gemara says, no. I know that Rava does not view the categories of Hejot and Hekdesh the same, because Rava makes a statement, and presumably Shmuel agrees with the statement, which is Hekdesh Lomidas, that when I misappropriate something with Hekdesh, even not knowing it belonged to Hekdesh, that is considered Kehejot Midas. That's considered like Hejot Midas. Take a look at Rashi over here. Very great Rashi. Rashi says Kehejot Midas Dami Shehekdesh Munach Lemol Lechol Haba. Because, says Rashi, Hekdesh is subject to Me'ilah at any point in time. V'ein mocha biyado. Because consider, we're talking about inanimate objects. So when you pick it up and use it, no one's going to stop you. V'rachmana amar mandimitane limol v'rachmana yada. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, anyone who takes my property and makes usage of it is immediately subject to the violation of Me'ilah. So you don't need das when it comes to Me'ilah. Masha'in came with it when it comes to Hejot. You do need das. So you see that categorically, Hejot and Hekdesh are not the same. That's the statement of Rava. Presumably Shmuel agrees with that. We don't know otherwise. So therefore, we're going to say that Shmuel ended up retracting his comparison of the halacha of Me'ila to the halacha of living on other people's property. Let's just finish up. Amar Rava, Hanish Gulai de Tavru, Chavis de Chamele Chanvani. So there were these wine carriers and they broke barrels. And Biyuma de Shukam is Davnin Behe. Now, they have to reimburse. They were poshe, they were negligent. And they have to reimburse. Now, on market day, the barrels went for five. Bishar Yomim is Davnin Barba. On non market days, they went for four. Okay, in other words, supply demand. Good. Now, Ahadjole Biyuma de Shukam, Mahadjole Chavita de Chamer. Now, on the market day, they're allowed to return a barrel of wine. Because they took a barrel worth five, they handed it back on market day, so they're good. Now, Bishar Yumim Mahadjulei, hey. Now, if it's a non-market day, so they have to return back five. Meaning they can't just simply give a barrel, because giving back a barrel at that point in time is only worth four. So the Gemara says, but let's say the victim had other barrels of wine and clearly he was not interested in selling. So he clearly was not desperate for money. So even on a non-market day, you can give him a barrel of wine and you'll be fine. However, in your repayment of that which you broke, so you get two deductions that you get to deduct. One is that now you give him a barrel of wine and he didn't have to, there was no effort on his part. So in other words, he saved himself the effort. That's one deduction. And the second deduction is Barzanisa. Now Rashi gives two pshatim over here. Either Rashi says you're tapping into the barrel, which is just more worker effort, or the girsa of Karzanisa, right? Marketing, right? Which is now it's an advertisement. So that's another small deduction that the damagers get to deduct before having to pay back. Okay, Ad Khan.